It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last month, Bar Marco, a trendy restaurant in the Strip District, announced that they will institute a no-tipping policy this spring. There's been an outpouring of interest and, in some cases, praise for Bar Marco coming from all over the country. Bar Marco co-owner Bobby Fry is with us by phone. Bobby Fry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Paul. How are you? Great to be back.
Good to have you. And also with us here in studio is events coordinator Andrew Hefner, who is here to talk about, along with Bobby, how they came to this decision, how they plan to make it work. Andrew Hefner, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Bobby Fry, let me start with you. Why and what went into this decision to change the policy of tipping?
Well, we started looking at last year. Was our third year of operation, and about 70% of restaurants fail in their first 3 years, and 90% fail in their first 5 years. So we wanted to make sure that after we got past that three-year mark that, you know, we made it past the five-year mark as well. So we started studying. We went on about 20 food trips to study the restaurants of, like, some of the restaurants around the country and restaurant groups that inspired us the most. Like Vetri in Philly and Barbara Lynch's crew in Boston. And we realized that everybody kind of had their own model for how they would grow their restaurants without sacrificing the quality of what they were doing and while they were supporting their team and making sure their team grew with them. So I started listening to a podcast maybe a year ago this time on Freakonomics, and we had a guy named Michael Lynn on, and it was the whole show was about tipping. And he's a professor at Cornell. Dr. Cornell has published over 50 papers on tipping and on the practice of tipping. A lot of them focused on restaurants. Some of them focused on doormen. Some of them focused on anything from, you know, dancers to any other realm of tipping and what the practice is like. And he came up with a couple of interesting points that I thought correlated really well to the problems that we were proactively trying to avoid in our fourth to fifth year. And so we started putting the plan together. We knew we wanted to provide health care for the team and for ourselves as well. So we've all worked the restaurant since the first day, so there's not really much of a difference between the team and ownership. And we kind of arrived at this decision that, you know, one of the biggest things that we wanted to avoid was having an inconsistent schedule for restaurant workers. We didn't want the team to be tired ever. We didn't want there to be incentives to work on Friday and Saturday night instead of Tuesday and Wednesday night. And we didn't want people to not know how much their paycheck was going to be, our team. So I'm actually in Austin right now and studying some restaurants in Austin and avoiding the cold weather in the north.
Austin, Texas.
Yeah, and, you know, there was a in the big house that we're staying in, it has a couple of rooms for rent, and a girl came through, and she's a server in New Orleans, and it was a couple of weeks ago when it ended up being like 38 degrees down here, and it wasn't any warmer in New Orleans, and she left New Orleans on Sunday morning, or New Orleans, if you will, and she had been called off work on Saturday night on her way in, and she was supposed to work brunch on Sunday, and she was called off work on the way into brunch because she was scheduled for the outside seating area. So this is a person who's a full-time server who's got a full-time employment. She's been with them for many years, and she was leaving for a four-day vacation, and all of a sudden now she's a couple hundred dollars light for her vacation. And for some reason, and not just in restaurants, but in retail, you know, it's legal to call you on your way into work and say, oh, hey, you're not working today, and we're not going to pay you.
You're saying this is a common practice throughout the country in the restaurant business?
Yeah, not just in the restaurant business, but in retail sales as well. There was a big story on NPR National a couple of months ago, too, that was talking about, you know, these people working in retail sales and clothing and whatnot, and how, you know, even if it's a second job to supplement your income, if you're coming into work and it's a day where it's not busy because of the weather, they can call you on the day on your way into work and say, hey, you're not working today, or hey, we changed the schedule, or you show up and say, oh yeah, we made a mistake on the schedule, you don't work today.
So you're saying that then that what happens to servers and the restaurant workers is that it's a very precarious way to make a living, and that if you are trying to survive on the tips, that it can fluctuate depending on you may be anticipating a big weekend, but if the weather's bad, then the business is down and you're not going to make that money, and so you're always sort of uncertain about what's going to be coming in. So talk about the plan that you've put in place. And reportedly, you're talking about a regular salary, a 40-hour work week, health care, profit shares of the restaurant, and what I understand is you are intending to pay servers $35,000 a year, and again, it'll be a no tipping policy. How did you arrive at those figures, and did you have conversations about this with your employees?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it's we all kind of I did all the background and all that stuff, and kind of proposed it to the rest of the team and said, hey, what do you think about this thing? And then we just kind of like worked through all the little details together. I called Terry and Giuseppe, and when I was in Austin back in December, when I was putting it all together, and Dustin and Dr. Drew, who's with you today, and just kind of like ran everything through them and looked at data. So it's very data driven, right? It's just looking at 3 years of growth and statistics on our business, and what's our model, and just happened to be that the no gratuity model fit pretty well for us. Mainly because, Andrew runs our private events business with, weddings and corporate events and nonprofit events on our second floor of Bar Marco, which is about three times bigger than our dining room is. So we also have an events business, and, we wanted to make sure that it's not just the real meat of this story is that we're paying the kitchen the same as we're paying the front of the house as far as workload's concerned and whatnot. So whenever we have these big events, they're not getting stiffed, essentially, right? Because it's actually illegal for you to tip out the kitchen. It's illegal to tip, to take gratuities from the server and give them to someone else in the restaurant. So it ends up being that, if we keep going at this rate of growth with all these big weddings Andrew's planning, we'd end up running our kitchen into the ground. So I wanted to really avoid that and make sure that the kitchen staff was beefed up enough.
So, Andrew, let me jump in and let Andrew in on this conversation, or Dr. Drew, as you call him, Andrew Hefner, who is the events coordinator at Bar Marco. But, you're also a server. Mm-hmm. So you're in there, you're kind of in the same boat, for lack of a better cliche, with your fellow servers.
Sure.
So when Bobby Fry came to you with this idea, what was the reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's the natural, like, questions and concern. Well, any big change, what's that going to mean? And any of us that were working at Bar Marco, take it really seriously. And so you start kind of like, well, how's this going to change what we do next week or whenever? But I think, so myself included, I was, thinking through the ramifications and how will we change things? How will we embrace this? Or how does it work with customers? And but a lot of it is realizing then, like, this can just set us off so we can all plan better about what we're doing here. We can invest in this job in a more long-term way. We can also really, start to make plans for the place we're going to live in and not just have to kind of keep looking for another option or hoping it always stays busy. I love Pittsburgh. I've lived here a long time now and want to stay. And, having a traditional serving job can, in a lot of cases, be great and good pay, and it's a fun environment. But there's always that risk, that wave of it's a really slow week or it's a really tough season, and lots of restaurants go through that for reasons that are out of the control of a lot of the people involved there.
But on the other hand, you when you have tipping, there's that possibility that when things are really busy, you can make a killing. You're making,
yeah.
And I don't know exactly what it comes out to, but I've heard that servers, bartenders, and people in your industry can make a good deal of money from having the policy of tipping. Whereas with this, there's some security.
Yeah,
you're making $35,000 a year, or will be, in a 40-hour week, which is nothing to sneeze at. But again, that might be considered by some to be a lower end professional salary. So so you're trading some security perhaps for the opportunity to make more, but with a certain amount of risk involved. You're okay with that?
I am, and some of it is because of that revenue sharing and the possibility that if we all do a great job, this business keeps growing, and then we can, you know, we're looking at the numbers just like the owners are, and we can see that we can all be given a raise. We can be, you know, all benefiting from things going better and things being continuing to be a great place to spend time and to have a meal and to have a drink and all the things that got us into it in the first place.
Is this happening at are you finding that other restaurants are looking at this, Bobby, if not necessarily in Pittsburgh, in other places around the country?
Yeah. I mean, there's a little place across the ocean that's done it for quite a while. I think they call it Europe.
But
going back to the States, we've got, from Daniel Patterson doing it in San Francisco, and usually it's a lot of the higher touch restaurants. So there's restaurants in Columbus, Ohio that do it, and Newport, Kentucky. There's some here in Austin. There are restaurants in others in San Francisco. The whole Bar Agricole group does it. Out there, and it's something where everyone, like I said, on our travels of those 20 cities, kind of does it their own way, in their own different way. Some add a service charge, some up their menu prices, some, do an hourly wage instead that's baked in. So it just comes down to, like, what works best for you and your business and how much planning you can put in.
And so is there something that you have to do in terms of your financial planning to make this work without raising prices by, upping the salary of your employees to compensate for the no tipping policy?
Yeah, so there's basically what we've done is just invest more in our kitchen so that we can actually lower our cost of goods sold while increasing our quality. So now we'll be able to break down whole animals in-house. We won't be able to have to pay a premium for certain cuts of meat without sacrificing the quality of where we're sourcing from. Produce is an interesting thing because it's probably the only thing where as the quality goes higher, the price goes lower. And what I mean by that is if it's a good growing season for tomatoes, there are tomatoes everywhere. They're popping up. They're beautiful. And because there's so many of them, then they're also inexpensive. So you've got the highest quality and the lowest price. So now we've got a kitchen that's equipped to a team in the kitchen who can and preserve all these things and use them year round. So it kind of lowers our overall costs that are coming in the door. It allows us to do more with what we're putting on your plate, and the prices are higher as a result, but you're getting more for it. And in the end of the day, you're going to walk out spending the same or that you would with tipping and getting more for it.
What if somebody wants to leave a tip on the table still? What if somebody just can't get out of the habit of just throwing a few dollars onto the table before they leave?
That goes to our nonprofit, to Food Revolution Pittsburgh Cooking Club. So we started that. That's what I was on the show for last time. And then, the community has got a way to help support the growth of culinary skills in high schools and in early education. So I think that's, a big part of continuing what we're doing. I mean,
it's a worthy, very worthy cause that people can contribute to. So you won't be doing what someone described to me when they went to a restaurant in Japan. An American gentleman who wanted to leave a tip for what he felt was outstanding service and a great meal, left, I'm not sure what the amount was, let's say it was $15 on the table, and walked out, and the server grabbed the money and literally chased him down this particular street in Tokyo to give the money back, because apparently it's actually frowned upon in other cultures that this is, no, you don't do this.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I went to Dublin into a couple of the pubs and whatnot. When you're tipping the bartender, I mean, they're paid well already, and they're viewed as the psychiatrist and the life coach and whatnot of the community. So it's a bit insulting almost. It'd be like Andrew tossing down $10 for you doing a good job today.
I'll take it. I'll donate it to our new and renewing membership fund.
Right, there you go.
Yes.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about a trend that is happening that's being started by Bar Marco restaurant in Pittsburgh. No tipping, a no tipping policy that will begin this spring. Talking about that with Bar Marco co-owner Bobby Fry and events coordinator Andrew Hefner. And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. What are your thoughts about a no tipping policy? Is that something that would encourage you to maybe eat out more, make it more affordable for you? Do you think it's a good idea for employees? And if you are a server in a restaurant, we'd like to hear from you about whether you think that this is a good idea or not and whether it helps you financially in the long run. 412-246-2002, the number to call. Our email address, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive. Bobby, what kind of reaction have you gotten from customers since this news was announced?
I mean, it's been overwhelmingly positive. You can take a look at all the blogs and all the international media and TV spots that we've had. It was just a little tweet that we sent out. And I understand you have Mayor Peduto on with you tomorrow. You
yes.
have to ask him if the Daniel Gilman, Councilman Gilman, made the first reservation for whenever no gratuity starts. And you'll have to ask him if Dan's invited him to be his date for the evening, to be the first one to support healthcare for employees and whatnot. But overall, the reaction's been great. I think the number one question that we get is that, from media and whatnot, is, how are the servers incentivized to do a good job? So I wrote about seven reasons why there's this misconception around the fact that tipping would incentivize someone to do a good job when they otherwise, you're assuming that they would not otherwise do one just for their salary and profit shares and healthcare. And there's a lot of things talked about.
Well, let me ask Andrew here about this whole idea that tipping incentivizes service. As someone who has been tipped, you've received tips and gratuities in the past as part of your job. Does that put a spring in your step?
I can only speak from my own experience, but I think I honestly would try not to look at it while I was working. And I would really, the way I've always worked at Bar Marco is about what do we want to do to make this a great experience? What needs to happen for this table? What are they asking about? What can we teach them if there's a question, or what are we going to provide? And, the details of how they respond to that will be figured out later. A lot of my own attitude was make this place great and a welcoming environment to be in, and those things will work out. And I feel like it's too easy to ride the sort of emotions of someone tips, someone doesn't at a certain rate, and then you get deflated or overly inflated. And maybe it's just my mentality. I'm always a more like even keel person, but I would try instead to just
So you weren't sitting there in the evening counting up the tips and going,
no.
You know what, this makes me want to come in here and just work even harder tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I feel like if it's the tips only that incentivize that, you're kind of missing the whole point of this work. And instead, it's I want this place to be great. I want there's value. There's things I can bring to the table, and I want to do those either way. And people will see that if you do a great job, if you have that good conversation with someone about a wine they've never heard or something like that, and
that's
they remember
the fun
that
part.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to bring some callers into the conversation. I also want to welcome in, and we'll keep Bobby on the phone here for the time being. We'll be bringing in another phone guest here shortly. But Kevin Joyce is with us here in Studio A. He is the owner of the Carlton Restaurant in Pittsburgh and a member of the Western Pennsylvania chapter of the Pennsylvania Restaurant and Lodging Association. So, Kevin, thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure.
We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say about this. But let's also welcome in callers. And we have Amy from Squirrel Hill, who wants to a listener who wants to take part in the conversation. Welcome, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just want to, bring a different perspective. I lived in the Netherlands for about 3 years, and tipping was sort of frowned upon there. What we found was service was actually better there in restaurants because the servers didn't have the incentive to sort of turn the table faster. The table was yours as long as you wanted. They didn't have the incentive to get, 10, 15, 20% on this meal. And if I get another meal, I get more of a tip. So that actually then would encourage us to go back to the restaurant again because we had such a good experience that then longer term they were you know, it was more revenue from us. So I think it's a great idea.
All right.
Given some of the experiences we've had.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for that. So here's a someone who is a person who likes to eat out and who likes this practice, and obviously Bobby Fry from Bar Marco, co-owner of Bar Marco, and his events coordinator, Andrew Hefner, in favor of it. Can this be a model for a larger restaurant like yours, Kevin Joyce?
I don't know. You know, it's an interesting interesting idea. I've been watching, just like Bobby, this this trend pop up in various locations throughout the country. It's done primarily for a lot of folks to really kind of even the scales a little bit, because in my opinion, one of the biggest inequities in the restaurant business is the fact that the back of the house, the folks that are cooking the food, the folks that are doing a lot of hard work, and those are generally folks that are working 40-hour weeks, they're just not making nearly the amount of money that the servers make.
As Bobby pointed out.
As Bobby pointed out. So many cases, you've got servers that are making, you know, 27 – or I shouldn't even say making. They're declaring $27, $30, $32, $33, $34 an hour. And you've got a lot of the cooks that are back there working for, you know, $11, $12, $13 an hour. And you know, it doesn't seem to be fair. So as Bobby mentioned, it's not legal to take gratuities and spread them out among non-tipped employees. So there's an inequity there. So I think a lot of folks have thought about this in recent years about leveling the playing field. And what they do is they do charge a service charge because the money has to come from somewhere. It just doesn't appear because you're, you know, creating an efficiency or increasing sales. It'd be hard to increase sales that much. But they're putting the service charge on. It becomes part of the restaurant sales. They've got to pay taxes on that as if they're sales. But then they're able to distribute it a little more evenly. So it could be a model, but, you know, it's not a cookie cutter approach. I mean, you know.
And you're saying that just because tipping is eliminated doesn't necessarily mean that someone going in to buy a meal at a restaurant is going to save money, because in some way a charge might be passed on to them.
I would say in most cases that a service charge is put on, or the food prices or the beverage prices are increased. That's been the trend, and I'm really looking forward. And I think Bar Marco and Bobby is one of the more innovative restaurateurs in this region, and I'm looking forward to maybe being on the show 6 months from now and seeing how it's actually working out. But it wouldn't work in every restaurant. Every business is different. You know, my business has been open for 30 years. If I would try to institute this with my staff, I mean, I do offer health insurance. I do offer 401k. I out of my 40 employees at the Carlton, 14 of them have been with me over 20 years. We try to encourage, you know, an atmosphere that's a family atmosphere, that's a long-term commitment. We look for employees like that. But if I suggested this to my serving staff tomorrow, I would imagine I would turn my staff over because they're making much more.
Well, let's take a call from Larry from Pittsburgh, who it says here he's worked as a waiter in Pittsburgh. Larry, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi there. I'm fine, thank you. I wanted to let you know that I think it may not work in some cases where you have waiters who do a very fine job of promoting the restaurant and the options that are available on the restaurant's menu and on the wine and spirits menu. Those who do a very good job to take pride in promoting those different aspects of the restaurant that people can't just get anywhere, I think they deserve to make a higher payout. And the way that has been managed so far is they're not padding the check, but they're offering more to customers who are paying for more. So why shouldn't they get a higher payout? So their tips would be better than the person who comes to the table at the end of the meal and says, oh, do you want anything else? And then puts a check on the table. So I was able to work my way through college because I took pride in what the unique qualities of this restaurant were, and a smile on my face and just an energy about me enabled me to get great tips. And I don't think I'd want to work in a place where the average guy who just doesn't really have an incentive to work that much harder is going to make the same amount of money as me.
Bobby Fry, what about what Larry here is saying?
Well, it's interesting, I mean, because that is our whole team is more along the lines of how Larry is, right? So one of the problems that we might face is if we're paying people irregularly, right, and you've got people incentivized to just work Friday and Saturday nights when it's busier, and you have a part-time staff that works maybe Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I mean, we're one of the only restaurants in the city that's serving old world natural biodynamic wines. So to be able to understand those wines and how the menu's changing, you have to be it's better to have a full-time staff and bring up some of the people from full-time to part-time or from part-time to full-time. And that if it was a restaurant that was starting out with that model of no gratuity, maybe not, it would be a more clear-cut decision or something. But in this case, it's like we've already had this team that cares so deeply. I mean, Andrew was our first employee. Our head server has been there since he was the first server we hired outside of Andrew, and he's been there now 2.5 years. So this is a matter of the whole team caring an immense amount and making sure that their pay, and they're looking at it again, too, as not hustling and working your way through college, but as a career.
So it's more, it's an interesting point. So you're saying this is really less about, it's a focus at Bar Marco, or at least what it will be, is a focus more on a team approach as opposed to, how much can the individual do to bring money to his or herself.
Exactly. And like, teamwork makes the dream work, that's for sure. But the other point to toss out there, too, is that, again, Bar Marco functions also as a private event space. So that's why it works really well for us, is our dining room is 8% of our square footage. So for servers to have to work these events upstairs, and we know this money is coming in ahead of time, and there's a service fee for the weddings that are upstairs and whatnot, this is just a way to add consistency to their lifestyle and also their incentives. I mean, they're part of our bi-monthly financial meetings, so they get to see how much extra money is coming in, and then they get a part of that in their profit sharing. So, which they can invest in. We'll have the highest yield savings account we can for any of those extra profits coming in that are split amongst the team. So, it's just a different twist, essentially, on incentives. And I think
for sure.
Go to our Facebook page, is Bar Marco, and read the 7 things about how there's a contradictory thing about incentivizing people for better service. And one of them,
well, I'll tell you what we can do. What we can do, Bobby, is we can put a link to that on our website, on our web page at wesa.fm. We're going to shift the conversation and bring in another guest. I want to first thank Bobby Fry, co-owner of Bar Marco, and Andrew Hefner, events coordinator at Bar Marco, with us here in studio. Thank you both for being with us and talking about what Bar Marco is doing with eliminating the tip. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
And as we continue our conversation on restaurant tipping and better business models, we're going to bring in, we're going to keep Kevin Joyce here and bring in by phone Meg Foskey. She's Policy Director for Restaurant Opportunity Centers United. It's an industry trade group. And she joins us now by phone. Meg Foskey, thank you for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Meg, explain what your organization does.
Yeah, so we work with restaurant employees, actually high road employers and consumers. And our basic mission is to improve wages and working conditions in the restaurant industry. So for the 12 million Americans that work in restaurants in this country.
Do you think it's a good idea to do away with tipping?
Well, I think that, I think it's a complex subject. I think what Bobby Fry is doing is, really interesting. I think it's a great idea to treat servers like professionals and have a professional wage. From our perspective, having people rely solely on gratuities for their income, like you do when you earn a subminimum wage in Pennsylvania. So in Pennsylvania, tips workers are paid only $2.83 an hour. So really, all of their income is coming through tips. From our perspective, that's, a broken system that creates liability for employers. And also, some people, some servers do well under that system, but the vast majority of servers don't. It's unstable, creates poverty. So from our perspective, there needs to be kind of systematic policy change. But in absence of that, I think what Bobby's doing is really an interesting model.
All right. Well, we have you heard obviously what Bobby had to say. We've got Kevin Joyce here, who's owner of the Carlton Restaurant in Pittsburgh. And as you listen to what Meg is saying, Kevin, she says it's a broken system. What is your response to that?
I don't know if it's a broken system. It's the system we've all inherited. It's the one you know, I grew up in. I started in this business at age 14 at a country club and have been in it for 44 years. And it's the system we have in America. I mean, Bobby was right. Across the pond, that's not the culture. It is the culture in United States, and it's going to be, you know, a long time, I think, changing that culture to a different model and one that would work for everybody involved. And I don't think the model's not the same from restaurant to restaurant. But where I kind of disagree with the folks from Morocco is that the servers are generally, and I mean, in Pennsylvania, I think that the most servers are declaring, I've read this, somewhere between $16 and $20 an hour. So these folks are really not the workers in most restaurants that are the ones that are being taxed the hardest. I mean, the folks that are in the back of the house, in my opinion, are the ones that need to see their wages grow a little bit more. And when you increase the server wages, you're taking away from your ability to do that. All restaurants aren't profitable. I've been in business for 30 years, and I can tell you I've ended more than 1 year in the red. It's a very difficult thing to sell stocks or sell assets in order to make a payroll. I've done that. So
someone might reasonably ask, though, if you are profitable, if you can afford it, why not pay the servers better?
Well, I think, maybe that's a good case. But the point is those servers are already making, as I told you, you know, I looked at my payroll this morning, just in what they're declaring. And we all know that tipped employees don't always declare every penny. They're declaring, in my case, between $27 and $35, $36 an hour. So taking their income from $283 to, let's say, $550, that's a couple more dollars an hour that I don't have to give to the folks that are making substantially less. And that is really the issue. The economics of every restaurant is not the same, but generally the back of the house employees are the ones that are being underpaid in most restaurants, and that's what needs to be addressed. And when you talk about minimum wage increases, and believe me, I think a lot of us in this industry believe minimum wage does need to go up the right way.
Which is that very issue being discussed in Harrisburg as we speak.
It's being discussed in Harrisburg and Washington. We keep on electing, legislatures and congresses that make it less likely to see a minimum wage increase. But if I were writing the law and you wanted to pay the servers more than the minimum wage, you could make their minimum wage pay be, say, 30% higher than the regular minimum wage. But why not let tips be part of that? Because they are right now in our system part of the income, part of what's coming in and driving that economic model.
Well, unfortunately, we've come to time for this segment, but I want to thank everyone who's taken part. Meg Foskey joining us by phone, who is with the she's the policy director for Restaurant Opportunity Centers United, Restaurant Opportunity Centers United, an industry trade group. Meg Foskey, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And also Kevin Joyce, owner of the Carlton Restaurant in Pittsburgh. Thank you for being with us here in Studio
My pleasure.
A to talk about restaurant tipping and Bar Marco's soon-to-be adopted policy of not allowing tipping anymore. Coming up, we will talk with our business contributor, Rebecca Harris, who will focus on Black History Month. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.